Open it to Galatians chapter 6. We're in this due season series. We still ain't gonna get to due season today, but we getting there. We got to get over this mocking of our sowing and reaping first. Got to sow and reap the right things. That way we won't lose heart. Amen?
Amen?
You should be in Galatians chapter 6. And we want to give God a praise offering for our visitors. So steadfast, give God a praise offering for our visitors. Praise the Lord. We're about to do our Bible confession, but before we do, I want you to turn around to a neighbor and look them deep in the eye and say, smile. God loves you and so do I. Praise God. Hold your Bibles up in a comfortable position. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
Not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life is the better.
And my life is the better.
After having heard.
After having heard.
The word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by.
The word of God.
In Jesus' name.
Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're in this due season series part 2. And we're looking at Galatians chapter 6. And we have read it earlier, but we're going to read verses 6 and 7. 7 and 8 together. We're going to be looking at those two verses today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Give God a praise offering. Praise the Lord. And we talked last week, we kind of looked at Galatians chapter 6, and we looked at the first 6 verses to try to get some context for what Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia in this particular chapter. And he's culminating his message, his letter, with chapter 6. You know, we went back in and subdivided all the chapters and stuff, human beings. The King James folks did it. But as we are looking at this, we're looking at the end of what he is sharing. And so he's saying in the end, this is one of the last points he's trying to make here, do not be deceived. Okay, Miss Charlesia, we can do the Amplified for verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And to see, we talked about last week, means to roam from safety or to roam from the truth, to go astray, to err, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. So don't be out of the way. Don't roam away from the truth. Don't go astray. Don't err. Don't be seduced by whatever it is. And the word says God is not mocked. You can't turn your nose up at God. You can't ridicule God. You can't make God the fool. You may be able to deceive other people. You may deceive yourself, but you can't deceive God. And you're not deceiving him. So you might as well not be deceived with him. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's why Jesus is the way, truth, and life. You better get to know him so that you're not deceiving yourself. It says, for whatever a man sows, that will he reap. And we said that sow means to scatter, as in seed. And we talked about the 3 ways that you can sow. It's what you sow, which we're going to talk about more in verse 8, and how you sow, and then how much you sow. So it's not just the seed itself. Nobody who is growing fruit, vegetables, plants, puts one seed and expects to have a big harvest, because you never know what's going on with that seed. So you know you've got to sow plentifully to reap plentifully. And when you sow plentifully, you reap plentifully. Even if you sow corruption plentifully, you're going to reap corruption plentifully. So you got to be careful what you sow, and then how much of what you sow, you sow. And then we know that sowing is a deed. It's not just talking or saying things. James 1:22, and I don't even know if I got to this last week. Okay. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if we're supposed to be sowing, we can't just talk about sowing. If we are supposed to sow love, we can't just say, I love you. Love is indeed and truth. So you have to show love in what you do. And when you show love, you'll reap love. If you're feeling a lack of love in your life and you're loving like God loves, then you should be busy doing stuff. Then you won't feel unloved. Because what you sow, you will reap in plenty. But if you sow stinginess, you will reap plenty of stinginess. Plenty of it. It'll be so tight, it won't feel right. If you sow a nasty attitude with people, you're going to reap that nasty attitude. It's hard for us to continue to sow the good attitude when we get confronted with a nasty attitude. But in spite of what other people are giving us, we're supposed to sow the love of God to them. And so we just have to continue to do that. Did anybody watch tennis this week? Y'all missed the great moment. There was a match between Ostapenko and Taylor Townsend. Ostapenko is a foreign player. Taylor Townsend is a phenomenal African-American woman who is unranked but beat Ostapenko. And at the end of the match, Ostapenko sowed nasty attitude and a bad loser spirit, and said that Taylor Townsend was unclassed and whatever. But if you listen to what Taylor Townsend said in response to her in that moment, she said, thank you, you played a good game, have a nice day. Now she probably said it just like that, but she better than me, because everybody else would have smacked the girl. And she was talking mad junk for somebody who lost. And so what has happened is Ostapenko has reaped plenty of nastiness in social media, because she put that out there. And then Taylor Townsend has reaped plenty of praise and went on and won the next round. So she's further than she's ever been in the U.S. Open. She's been about that life. If you really love tennis, you know Taylor Townsend been that girl. But people... everybody raced up to say nice things about her. That is totally untrue. So you don't have to worry if you're out there reaping good things. Obviously, she's reaping good things on tour. Her peers had wonderful things to say. Ostapenko's peers didn't have so much to say that was nice about her. They're like, yeah, that sounds like stuff she normally say. What is that to say? You want to reap good things so you can sow. I mean, you want to sow good things so you can reap good things. You know, I laugh at this all the time. People come to Diane's job and the girl accused Diane of cussing her out, and her coworkers laughed at the girl because they know Diane don't cuss at anybody. So you can't just put on people. What you sow, you reap. Amen? And then James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we know we've got to work this thing. The sowing that we do is a work that needs to be done. And if you don't sow, then you're not doing the work of faith. And that's the whole thing that Paul is trying to encourage the church here. With verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Look at the amplified version of that scripture. It's coming. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. You fooling yourself if you try to fool God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. So let's look at verse 8. It says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So there are two options given to us here, corruption or everlasting life. The Amplified says, for he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So we have to understand and embrace that what we sow and where we sow it matters. So if you're sowing to your flesh, this body, which we know is not good, we're going to get there. We're going to flip over in a second. But then you're going to reap not good things. If you pay more attention to that than you do to your spirit life. And as a believer, you've been saved. And now that you're saved and you are spiritually awakened, you have to choose to feed into your spirit. And think about it. Your spirit was dead until you got saved. You were dead spiritually. So you got to put life into what has been dead. Your flesh been running you. So you don't need to put no more into that. I don't care how old you were when you were saved. Think about me. I got saved at 6 years old, which means I've been saved the majority of my life, but I've been in my flesh 5 years before I got saved. And think about human development. All of what you will become, you really learn and develop in the first 2 or 3 years of your life, which means if you don't get saved at a young age, you're working on a deficit. And it depends what you've been sowing since you've been saved. So you never gonna catch up. You always gotta sow into your spirit to reap everlasting life because you're fighting a losing battle here. By the time you find out the difference between good and evil and decide to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as Lord and Savior of your life, which is really at the discretion of the Lord and the obedience of his people. Because that's why it's so important to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because if people don't know about Jesus, they're going to reap death to themselves because they're sowing to their flesh at all times. So your period of sowing and reaping depends on how long you've been saved and how busy you've been about the business of sowing to your spirit. It's not just the salvation, but what you've been doing with it. And most of us, when we first got saved, we had this fire and this fervor for Christ, and then the devil comes. Because he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so he wants to steal your enthusiasm. He wants to steal your zeal for Christ. He wants to steal your time away. He wants to get you to think that you can't do the things that God says you can all do through Christ who strengthens you, which is everything. You do all things. And so your flesh tells you, no, you can't kill your flesh. No, you got to be you. Lord, help us all. Because we be like, this just who I am. The Lord knows my heart. No, the Lord knows that he gave his son in sacrifice so that you can live like him and seek after him. Not so you can just be who you think you are, even though you didn't make yourself. and you don't know yourself. It will blow your mind if you really think about what gusto we have. I'm trying not to use the street words, but I really want to. I'm going to use them. What kind of balls you have to think? I just say no other way to say it. To think that you can tell God what to do with you. Like you made yourself. You can't even give yourself your next breath. You better acknowledge him so he can direct your path. What are you doing? You have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, and sometimes you got to be hard on yourself because you think too much of yourself. Got the big head about who you are. You ain't put nothing together that you are you. He made you for a purpose, and it's your job to make sure you fulfill your purpose in the earth, not be about your own business. If you sow to the flesh, you gonna reap corruption. Corruption means decay and ruin. So if you want to reap decay and ruin, keep sowing into this body. It don't do nothing for you. But if you want to have eternal life, you got to sow into your spirit. And we know that even as we are born, we are going to the path of dying. We all going to die out this body or Jesus going to return. A or B. You going to die or Jesus going to return. We don't know which one, and we don't know when it's going to happen. So you got to be about maintaining your spiritual everlasting life. And if the balance of your time is spent sowing into this flesh, then all you're doing is reaping decay and ruin to yourself, and you're not reaping everlasting life to yourself. So this made me think about my day and what I do with the hours in my day and how I feel like my spiritual grade is. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm a second grader. Maybe I'm a second grader. I know I ain't no college scholar by any means, way, shape, or form. If I've graduated to middle school, God is good. If you think you in high school, you ain't got to first grade yet, spiritually. Let's be honest, because let's look at our day. We wake up. And you may be in the retired blessed life. Praise God for you and your years of service. The rest of us got to go to work. So I will wake up at 5:30 tomorrow morning, God willing. I'll get out of bed at 6, which is why I set my alarm for 5:30. I'm going to spend some time with him in the morning. But the balance of my day is going to be spent getting ready in those early mornings, or I'm going to do simultaneous duties. And then I'm going to try to absorb some sort of food in my body before I exit. I will be in my car for an hour and 10 minutes at least getting to my job. Then I will work my job for 7.5 hours. During my break, I'm not studying the Word of God. I'm trying to stuff my face with some food. Take the subsequent lunch nap, because if y'all like me, the itis hit real strong in the afternoon. I'm going to get a couple of Z's in, and then I'm going to resume my work. So the balance of what I've done as the morning goes on, if I'm having a great spiritual morning and the Lord has really touched me and I've really spent some quality time with him, might be 30 minutes. Then you get home and the balance of your day belongs to you. You got to eat again. So do you have to cook or do you pick something up? One or the other, it still takes time. For me, the majority of my time is spent in my car. In transportation, it feels like it, a whole lot. And then I try to go to bed. So if I'm blessed again, I might tack another 30 minutes on unless I have something. And I ain't talking about the work you do for the body of Christ that's steadfast. That don't count towards your Jesus hours at all. I'm just talking about straight up relationship hours between you and him. So you may spend an hour if you keep it at 100. You may pray during the day. You may try to do a little dual. I like to listen to the word of God on my way to work. So maybe I can give myself an hour back. I'll listen to a sermon at least once a week on my way down. And I might listen to another one or listen to an audiobook or something on the way back. I'm going to study my lesson. So I might have some days where more time comes. Let's tack another hour on that. So you spent 2 hours of your 24 hours with the Lord. Let's say you having a super enriched time, you spend 3 hours of your 24 hours. That's 1/8 of your time. The majority of the time I spend sleeping. If God has really blessed me, I'm trying to get all 8. Maybe I'm resting in the Lord. Even if I add the 8 to the 3, that's 11. That's still not half my day. And I know I'm lying about the 8. I wasn't thinking about Jesus while I was asleep. If I'm blessed, I wake up with my mind on him, but I don't be having them dreams and visions unless he is really speaking to me. So then if I am reaping to my flesh, then sowing to my flesh, then I'm reaping corruption. If I take any of the free time I have to devote to the actions that don't build me up spiritually, because I already know that I'm spiritually on the low end. I'm working on getting on the better end, but even on the best day, even on my prep days and on my prep times, it's still not enough. I don't care what pastor is doing, what we ain't studying and praying all day. Amen. Running this ministry takes time and energy and effort. You got work to do. It's a job. These lights don't stay on by themselves. Somebody got to pay the bills for that. Decisions have to be made, meetings have to be held, trainings have to be done. You're constantly moving and doing things, and since I have other employment, that's double on that. So even your most dedicated aren't focused on the Lord 100% of the time. Most of y'all gonna go home and watch some games today. I'm going home to watch tennis today and tomorrow and every day that the U.S. Open continues. I ain't going to be here this time next year. I'm going to the U.S. Open. I'm just letting y'all know. I'm going. I'm blessing myself. But, we will watch that football. It's in season. And we can dedicate 10 hours, 12 hours over the weekend. I'm giving y'all 4 times 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Isaiah's like, yeah, you do it. Y'all be on that game all night. You scroll on social media. Oh, your phone will tell you how long you've been on it. So many hours, and most of them are dedicated to the things of God. You are sowing corruption to your flesh. You, in most cases, are not feeding your spirit. And that's what people like me who get the spiritual algorithm, if y'all know what I'm talking about, if you know, you know. You start watching the videos of the babies. That's how I started on Instagram, looking at the cute babies. And then Instagram's like, oh, she likes cute babies. So then I started watching spiritual stuff because I was getting some really nasty stuff because I had watched some nasty stuff. And then I got all the dirty jokes, and I was like, no, that's not helping my spirit any. So then I started friending and following the people who are giving me the word of God. And so on a good day, I'm getting the word of God, but I'm still getting the babies and still getting the nasty stuff and the random stuff and the random news because people are trying to sell me things and, you know, that stuff. And then you have to look at that time. So when do you have time to sow to your spirit? Life. It is why you really can't watch every game. You can't. You don't have time. I know this might be the big start weekend. I know they had 5 heavy hitters yesterday. Okay, you gorged yesterday. But today, after Carolina go off, turn it off. And thus, we have reaped. I didn't say it. Paul wrote it. It ain't, and he ain't give no, well, you know, sports is flesh corruption. It just is. Just because your sport is football and mine is tennis, we still reaping. It ain't helping our spiritual life. It's not. So don't, what did the word say? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And you wonder why you're not getting breakthrough. But every September to February, 6 months, you belong to football. You don't belong to the Lord. I said what thus said the Lord. I ain't even said what I said. I said what Jesus said. Don't be deceived. Don't delude yourself to attempt to delude God. Well, God, when the players give praise and honor, glory to you, I think about you. That was 5 seconds in a 5-hour event. Or what else are you going to forfeit since you want to consume the football? What else are you going to put down? You going to put your other TV shows down? You going to put your gym time down? You going to put your eat down, time down? You going to fast and pray instead of eat during football season? That probably fare well for y'all because y'all be snacking during the game. During dinner, you need to fast and pray and put your face on the plate and be before the Lord. And I was thinking about that for this month. You know, we're preparing for making preparations for 2026 here at Steadfast. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to present my body a living sacrifice? Because we need to hear from you and be in tune with what you want. We don't want no misses in 2026 in Steadfast Christian Center. We don't want the devil ruling nothing in here. So what do I need to do in preparation for the preparation for 2026? Because I'm the leader. Let's think about that this morning. September is tomorrow. In these last 4 months, Lord, what is it that I need to do? That's what I woke up thinking about this morning. What do I need to do to bring you better glory and honor? What have I missed? What have we missed as the body of Christ as Steadfast that we need to accomplish before this year gets out? Because we got to be busy about your work because we want to reap everlasting life. Not just for us, but for the people that don't know you. How do we get to the people who don't know you? And what do we do to reach them so that every seat can be filled in every service and signs, wonders, and miracles can follow us? Because once signs, wonders, and miracles follow us, people want to be here. And so we can't deceive ourselves. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. These are familiar. And we're going to hit Romans 6, Romans 7, and Romans 8 today. But we need to remind ourselves. Paul wrote to the church, to the Romans too. Romans chapter 6. When you get there, say, I have it. We're going to read verse 6 together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Give God a praise offering. In the Bible, in Amplified, it says, we know that our old, unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him, in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. Christ came so you don't have to be a slave to this body. So yes, you can. Yes, you can do all things. Yes, you can present your body a living sacrifice. Yes, you can get rid of the whites. Yes, you can eat right. Yes, you can exercise. Yes, you can run around this church and shout all day to give God glory. That's what your body is made for, not to sit there all conservative. You can shout to the day before you go be with the Lord. Yes, you can. You can do all things because Christ came so that your body won't be an instrument for sin. So you don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to serve sin. In the King James Version, it says that henceforth, we should not serve sin. We don't need to be serving sin. Amen? Amen. Turn over to Romans 8. I know we skipped 7, but we coming back. Romans 8. And we're looking at verses 1 and 2. You should have just flipped one page. Everybody there? We're going to read verses, Romans 8, verses 1 and 2 together on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Give God a praise offering. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's why there's no condemnation for you. The devil can't tell you you're not worthy, because God, through Jesus' sacrifice of his blood, made you worthy. So he can't convince you you're not good enough based on some criteria that have nothing to do with God. Just because you are saved, just because you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you should walk according to the Spirit and not after the flesh. If you do that, there's no condemnation for you. If you're trying to walk according to the Spirit, if you're trying, you will succeed, because you can do all things through Christ. It takes decision work. However, I was making peach cobbler this morning. Yeah, I told y'all I was cooking. I was cooking today. The kitchen is hurting. It smelled like a whole Thanksgiving in there. And so I have been convicted by my nephew, who's been encouraging me in the Lord for the last 5 years. He's like, if you just keep trying these recipes, it's gonna work. You almost there, even when I'm off. No, the one time I was real off, he's like, nah. He not just like, nah, this ain't it. But he's like, no matter what produces, he's like, ooh, you close. You can do it. You gonna get it one day. Because he knows that the only way on this side of heaven that he's gonna experience the peach cobbler taste close to my mama's is if I perfect this thing. So I was like, okay, we got 4 months left in this year. I'm gonna try more often to cook the peach cobbler. And so it's not the filling, it's the crust. And so the crust has flour. But I was looking at the flour this morning like, because in my life, I'm dedicated not to really engaging with the flour, which means I'm gonna have to cook these things without eating these things as often as I cook these things, because I need to practice, but I can't partake in the eating of it every single time. Mr. House, say he volunteered. You ain't taste, so I don't know. The experimenters will tell you, sometimes it feel like a nut, sometimes it don't. But I believe God. So this morning I recreated the sequence of time, because I know that my mom cooked the crust mostly in the morning. She could do it at night, but it was mostly in the morning, because there's peace in the morning and there's calm and whatever else prep she had done. So she had a little bit of time. She just dedicated more time. She would get up early and dedicate time to cook. And so I like to feel close to my mom, and then I like to cook. And I don't really like to get up early, but we make it work. And so I was like, okay, I tried some biscuits earlier this week. I made some biscuits on Monday, and they turned out pretty good. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna turn. But I was looking at the flour like, this is corruption. I got to hurry up and perfect this, because I can't do this once a month. I can't do this every 2 weeks. It's too much. Because I'm going to eat my cobbler today. Rest assured. We're going to try this thing and see what it's going to be. But you know, you really cannot. If you really don't want the bad diabetes, you can't be eating the carbs. You cannot. You can't dedicate. You don't have to eliminate everything, but you can't dedicate So what I sow to my body is mostly not car. So I'm not reaping the negative effects of cars. But the majority of the seed sown are not the white flower stuff. So then if I lean too much and deceive myself, if I try to eat a lot of every single cobbler that I create, I'm going to be fat by the end of the year. And I don't want to be fat by the time I turn 50. So I'm going to have to work out A and B and let the experimenters experiment and let the taste testers take the pounds. Because I don't want to, so I'm not going to deceive myself. And a lot of us expose ourselves to sinful situations. Why you be up in the club when you know what them girls do in the club? You know how your pattern goes. You know, I always say, you never trip and fall in none. You have to walk the path to get there. You know what your habits are to get you there. So then you have to not sow corruption to yourself. You gonna reap it. You keep load the gun, it's gonna go off. So then the frequency of the sowing to your flesh needs to decrease. And what needs to increase is the frequency of sowing to your spirit. So as I was getting my food ready this morning, I was worshiping God this morning. I almost hollered out. I had to catch myself because Diane was in the bed. But I was in a full worship moment. Because I didn't, you know, I normally have different habits to prepare for Sunday morning, but the Lord really placed on my spirit to cook today. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to be daddy and mama today. We just going to have to preach a good word and cook a good meal. But that's very time consuming and tiring. So then yesterday I'm prepping. This morning I'm up at 5:30 and I got to be organized too. I can't be groggy. And I went to bed real late last night because tennis went into quadruple overtime. And Paul and whatever, they was playing till 1 something in the morning. It was good tennis too. Oh, it was good. That's why I say I ain't going to be here next year. I'm going to go watch it live. Me sitting up in the stand, Mr. Hop gonna minister the word next September. And so you have to not be under condemnation. No adjudging guilty for wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. Flip over to Romans chapter 7. I told somebody last week, I look up, it's like 5 minutes to 11, and then I looked up, it's 11:25. So we got this, our last scripture for today. Amen. Romans chapter 7, you should be right there. We're looking at verses 18. We're going to read verse 18 together, and then we'll look at verse 24 and 25, but we're going to look at verse 18. On the count of three, Romans 7, 18. 1, 2, 3. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but is good I do not find. Give God a praise offering. I skipped a whole line. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. There's a semicolon, but it's a whole statement in itself. In this flesh, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. I want to do it, but how to perform what is good I do not find in my flesh. So we don't find in ourselves what the good thing is. Which is why we have to walk according to the spirit and not according to the flesh. Because if you're always leaning into what your flesh wants, you're never going to find the good over there. You're not built to do that. That's why Christ had to come. In the Amplified, it says, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. The power to carry out what is right is found in your relationship with God, which is your spiritual connection. If you're looking to your flesh to carry out what's right, if you're waiting to feel like you want to get up to work out, you will never get up, because in your flesh dwells no good thing. So you have to have your spirit man to speak to you to get up, or you have to develop good spiritual habits, which is why you don't have to get up and pray every morning. But if you don't develop the spiritual habit of talking to God each morning, then when are you going to get with him? Because we done described how the day went. You gotta come up with the habits so that you are reinforcing the things that speak to your spirit. It's why you can't listen to any and every kind of music. Because once you find, if you know all the lyrics to the newest song, you don't know the word of God. Because you can't have both. And it's funny, when you listen to things that come from the era when you're a kid, I don't care how old you are, when your song from when you was young come back on, you can sing all the words. If a beat drops in here to a particular, I'm not even a big rap person, but some things are deep within me. Lyrics will start to flow out, and I don't even know where they come from. I'm more of an R&B person or a gospel person, but some rap songs hit different because I listen to it over and over and over and over again. And if you put what is not the Lord's words or music in your mouth, that's what will come out, especially in times of trouble or distress. So you feel it some kind of way, and then you say, oh, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to shed no tears. For all the Mary J. Blige, if you know, you know. But that's not what the word says. The word says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So you sitting there crying along with Mary, because you was his lover and his secretary working every day of the week. But then all of a sudden, if you know, you know. But then all of a sudden, then you and wallowing in your flesh, and your spirit isn't being edified or exalted, and you don't see a path through. You don't know a way through, right? And so you have to be very careful what you're feeding your spirit, and that you're not sowing to your flesh corruption and reaping that corruption. It's an either or. And we don't like that choice, but either you sow into your spirit or you die. So you need to choose to sow to your spirit more. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 24 and 25. It says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me through from this body of death? And then verse 25 gives us the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And the Amplified, it says, oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am. And let's just get honest and real with it. When we go the way of our flesh and we deceive ourselves, we don't feel good because we are disconnected from our source of life. And he says, who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? Oh, thank God, he will, through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, our Lord. So then indeed I of myself with the mind and heart serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin, which is why we cannot be conformed to the world, but we have to transform by the renewing of our mind. Because as our mind and heart go, then this flesh has to follow. That's why we're reading Battlefield of the Mind, because we need to win the battles more. Because we need to align ourselves to what is life and godliness and less to what is dealing with our flesh. And so we've got to not deceive ourselves and sow to our spirit. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.